In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today's gospel cannot be more relevant for our need in the church these days, which is the topic of unity. Jesus was casting out a demon, and after he cast out the demon, he was accused that he is casting demons by Beelzebub, the chief of demons. And then Jesus gave us a very strong and very important lesson. And he said very important words. He said, no, devil can never do this. The devil is very strong because his kingdom is united. United kingdom. Not England, but his kingdom is a united kingdom, not the united kingdom. And that's why his kingdom is very strong. And he said, if you want your kingdom to be strong, then it needs to be united. If you want your house to be strong, it has to be united. If you want your community to be strong, it has to be united. Your church, everything. When the devil tries to attack, or when he starts to attack, he attacks unity. Why? Because as a group, he can never attack us. So he splits us to be individuals, and he can attack every and each one individually very, very, very well. That's why when the Bible spoke about anger, he said, okay, you want to be angry? You're upset? Be angry, but do not sin. And then said something very nice after that. Said, do not give the devil a foothold. Don't let him in. Don't give him a place between you and your brother and your sister. Make sure that the devil has no... You know what foothold is? Just one step, because that's all what he needs. The devil needs one foothold in your household. He needs one foothold in the church. And guess what? He will never get that unless we allow him to come in. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? Are you aware that the enemy is attacking your household through unity? It's not through brothers and sisters. It's not through the people around you. It's when I bring him in the middle between me and my brother and my sister. And usually when the devil attacks, he attacks strong units, strong house. A couple that very united, love each other. A family that's very strong or very powerful. A place, a church can be very influential. I want this place. Why? Because if I get it, I will stop the influence. That's how the devil thinks. In the Bible, we know that the church of Corinth had a problem of lack of unity. And St. Paul wrote this epistle, the First Corinthians, for that. And he wrote another epistle to the church of Rome, the epistle to the Romans. Rome was the most important church in the world. You know why? Because it was in the capital of the world back then. Rome. And guess what? If Christians or the Church of Rome can do a good job, if the Church of Rome is united, Rome will be Christian. And the emperor will be Christian. And this emperor will influence the entire world for Christ. Did it happen or not? It did. When Constantine, the emperor, became the emperor of Rome. Rome was controlling the whole world, okay? The empire, the Roman Empire. And Rome was the key. That's why the key church there is the key church in the early Christian church is the Church of Rome. See what St. Paul wrote to the Church of Rome. So he spoke to the Church of Corinth and now speaking to the Church of Rome. This is actually the Pauline epistle. Actually, it's in history. The Pauline epistle is the shortest in the history of the church. Three verses, 17, Romans 16, 17 to 20. It says, now I urge you. I beg you, brethren, know those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. These people who cause divisions, they don't care about God. They don't care about truth. They care about themselves. They're doing that for their own sakes. They want to be leaders. They want to be something important. And by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. That's how rumors spread. That's how heresies spread. People speak nicely, smooth words, as they care. I care about you. That's why I'm telling you what other people are saying about you. I care about you. That's why I'm warning you. Really? He says, watch those people, because they don't, not necessarily they want the truth or the glory of God, but they want to win the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. To all the world. Listen, listen up. It's very important that you become a united church in Rome. Why? Because you're known all over the world. Your influence will be all over the world. Make sure that the devil has no foothold amongst you, because your role is very important. Your role is very important. That's what St. Paul is saying here. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. I'm glad that your faith is declared all over the world. And I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Wise in what is good. Don't listen to anything and say this is a good thing. No, be wise. Be wise what you take and what you leave. Be wise what you listen to. Be wise who you be friend with. Be wise in any conversation. And simple in what is evil, so you're not harmful. So wise like serpents and harmful like harmless like doves. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Where did Satan come from? We're talking about the people who caused divisions. Who brought Satan here in the picture? He said, no, it's not people who are causing division. It's the devil. Wake up. It's the devil who wants to cause this. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your children. It's the devil who wants to bring down your household. It's the devil who wants to bring down your church. And its place is not in your ears, but the place of the devil is under your feet. That's the place of the devil. Watch and be wise. That's what he's saying here. I urge you. He said the same word, St. Paul, I urge you, in another place that is famous, and most of us, or hopefully, most of us know this part. It's prayed in the first hour of the Agbaya prayer. We pray it every day. He says again, St. Paul, as a prisoner of the Lord, he was a prisoner, then I urge you, again, I beg you, it's very important. It's critical. What, St. Paul? What is it? And he's going to talk about the same. He's talking about unity. To live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. As one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I beg you, why? Why do you say that, St. Paul? He said, it's so important. You're not aware how the devil has a place in your home and at church, and he's attacking you. Please keep the unity. Do make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. You need it. You will. The other alternative of unity is destruction. The other alternative of unity is not lack of unity, but it is destruction. Destruction of a household. Destruction of a church. Destruction of a community. He said, watch out. Be wise. These are not my words. The words of St. Paul here. We are blamed as Christians because we don't have one church. We have many churches. So when you convince someone to become Christian, first question he asks you, so which church should I go to? Once I hear this, I become silent. I said, God, you do something. It's our sin. It's our sin. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. But the early church, the church of the apostles, was united church. It was one church. That's why we pray for the one, only, holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. God intended to be one church. Why? Because that's how God wanted. Because that's God, how he wants his children to be united in one unity and to live in unity. That's why the church was so powerful, led by the Spirit, miracles, people joining the faith. So many miracles happening every day when you read the book of Acts, the early church. The power of unity is unbelievable. That's why he's urging us. I urge you. God wants us to live in unity at home, at a church, in our country, so he can bless us. Let me give you an example. Let's assume that I have two sons, not necessarily my sons, because my sons are angels, but let's assume that, you know, I have two sons who are not, who they don't like each other. They always have two opinions, which is really not the case in my case, but let's assume two kids, they're the opposite, okay? When you have such a case, then there is a lot of jealousy. Everybody's looking, what is he getting? What is she getting? Stuff like this. And when you get a gift for someone, you have to make sure that you give something equivalent. You can't get the same gift because they have different tastes. So you have to get something different. How do you compare apple to apple? No, his is a little bit bigger. No, hers is more expensive. Oh, this took you a lot of effort to get it. No, this is this. This is that. You know when you have something like this? You hate to give them any gifts. Like when it's time to get gifts, what am I supposed to get every and each one? You hate it. And the best thing is not to give anything to anyone. That's how we keep the peace. It's headache. God sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of times the same. Two people, he loves both of them. One is praying for rain because his grass is destroyed. And the other one is praying for dry weather to have his barbecue. What should God do? I'm just giving you a random example. Two people in the same household. One praying for peace and one praying for justice. What should God bring to the household? Peace or justice? One praying, because peace is good and justice is good, but they're praying for two different things. That's how God feels. That's why he's urging us to be united, because it is the secret, it's the key to the treasures of heaven. I don't know if you've looked at this verse before or you paid attention to this verse before, but that's what God wants us to have. He said, again, that's what Jesus is saying. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That's a huge promise, only for the united people, only for the united household, only for the united church or the united country. That's a clear promise. Anything they want, I'll be happy to give them anything. But if they're not united, I don't want to give them anything. Nothing. In return, is this the case in your house? Are you praying for completely different things? Opposite things? Is it the case at church? Why not? Why not be united and having unity? You know why? Because it's so hard. It is the best thing. It's the source of all blessings. It's the source of all power. But it is the hardest thing on earth. That's why he says, I urge you. That's why he's saying, keep making every effort. Every effort. That's why he's saying be completely humble and gentle. Is this easy? Be completely humble? How? Who is completely humble? He said, it's worth it. It's worth it. Just put up with what you want. Put your desires aside. It's worth it. It's worth it in the end. It's not easy, but it's worth it. The reason why the unity is very hard, because it could take years to build and one word to destroy. Very unfair, huh? Takes years to build and one word to destroy everything. One rumor, one thing to destroy everything. That's why we repeat this prayer. I ask you, or I urge you as the prisoner of the Lord every day in the morning to remind us. Unity will never happen automatically. Never. If you think unity will automatically happen at your house or at church, you'll be mistaken. If you studied, we studied something in college, but now, because things are advanced, people study it in high school. It's called the theory of entropy, or the second law of thermodynamics. We thought we were very genius when we were studying this, and I heard that high school kids, they study this these days. So anyways, the theory of entropy says everything tends to distract by nature, diffuse, to be scattered, unless there is an extra power from above or from outside comes to unite these things together. Actually, this theory made a lot of people believe in God because, you know, who created these things? A power from outside has to put these things together because things automatically will be distracted. Unity will never happen automatically, never. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of apologies. It takes a lot of putting myself and denying myself in order for this to happen. It is the best blessing, but it takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy, as I said. Are you willing to invest in that every single day of your life? Are you willing to give up what you want so we can get what we need? Are you willing to put your preference aside? What do you think of compromise? I want something. I want A. You want C. Let's compromise and get B. What do you think of compromise? Compromise is good in business. Very good in business. But it's the worst in relationships. For example, family want to go for a vacation. This side wants to visit family. Our vacation is to spend it with family. And the rest says, no, it's our time together. We spend it by ourselves on the beach. What's the compromise? Stay home or just go to different friends all together. Does that make anyone happy or make both of them unhappy? Let me give you another example that happens in a lot of churches. Some people would love to hear the prayers in Arabic. And some people cannot understand that and would love for the prayers to be in English. So the compromise is do 50-50. Is it a good compromise? Absolutely not. Everybody is sad. Because there is 50% that I don't like and I don't understand. So what's the solution? Compromise is never a good solution in a church or at home. The solution is giving up my rights. It's saying, even though I would love to visit my family, but I would do what makes you happy. So we'll go wherever. So if we end up somewhere, I'll be happy because I made someone happy. Giving up my right says, I would love to hear the prayers in Arabic. but because I care about others, I don't mind at all. I'll be happy, actually, to be in English so everyone could understand. So I am happy. I am happy for you, and I'm happy for others. And if you don't learn how to be happy when others are happy, you will never be happy. That's my philosophy. I became a philosopher now. If you don't know how to be happy when others are happy, you will never be happy. Unity is maturity. Unity is maturity. Only for mature people. A challenge now. Can you make a decision to invest in your family and in your church? Your wife, your husband, so the devil doesn't come in between? Can you give up your rights? Are you able to do that? Because if you're not, forget about it. Will never happen. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Very hard, not easy, but is the secret behind every blessing. It is the secret to the treasures of heaven. Unity at our households and at homes will produce unity at church. Lack of unity at home will produce lack of unity at a church. There's no way a church full of people, every house is broken, this church will be united and it'll be strong. There's no way. But every house, every household should be one unity. That's the sacrament of matrimony, the sacrament of unity, union between two people. It is the gift of God, this union. Can we keep it? We can never make ourselves united. The unity comes from the Holy Spirit. That's why if two people can never be united, or they think they're different, or they will never because of culture, or because of this, or because of circumstances, they're mistaken. Because when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and united the church through one Spirit. The Spirit in you is the Spirit in me. If we're saying different things, then one of us is not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. One of us need to repent. One of us, or both of us, need to deny ourselves. And I wonder, if I am not in unity with anyone, do I have the Holy Spirit to start with? It is the Spirit of unity, the Spirit of God. If you have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and I have the Holy Spirit, we must be brothers and sisters, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. It is the gift of God. It is the blessing of God. That's how the church was united on the day of Pentecost. If your household is not united, maybe the Holy Spirit is not in any one of you. Maybe it needs repentance and denying the self. Maybe it needs a lot of work until we can accomplish that. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You want to do something great for the kingdom of God? Make your house united. Make your family united. That's the only way to make the church united. That's the only way to bring blessings from heaven. If you don't think this is essential, you're mistaken. And the devil has a place in your home and you're not aware of it. That's what Jesus said. When St. Paul spoke to the Church of Rome in these verses that I showed you, I told you he did that because the Church of Rome is very influential. Because this church will control the whole world if they control the kingdom. That's what the Christians did. Christians in Rome were very strong. Do you know how they won the palace of the empire? They attracted people, different people, So people from the palace started to believe, and they don't know that my friend is another believer, and this one is Christian. And all of a sudden, even the emperor himself became Christian. And the entire empire became Christian at a certain point. That's why St. Paul was saying, I urge you. My question to you, are we here in St. Mark's like the Church of Rome? Is God calling us for something great? Do we have influence over the world? And if we do, then the lack of our unity will be a disaster to the whole world, not just to us. There is a saying that says, the errors of leading churches are leading errors. We have a responsibility given to us by God, blessing and a responsibility that makes me feel my household can influence the world through the church. Why not? That's what God is inviting us to have. The beautiful promise here that I wanted to leave you with is that the God of peace will crush the devil under your feet shortly. I like this. It's cool. Crushing the devil under your feet. How powerful that. Crushing the devil under your feet. The place of the devil not in your ears, but under your feet. He will crush him shortly. Why is he saying that? Because he knows that there are things happening in the church that's not good. He said, when the war is strong against you, know that there is something great is coming. And the victory is very close. When the Israelites was facing the Red Sea and the enemy was behind them, it was very, very, very hard moment. They will be killed. It was the most stressful time in their entire life. But they were just one night away from victory. It was the following morning they found the bodies of the Egyptian army floating on the Red Sea. He will crush the devil under your feet shortly. But just keep up. Just keep going. Keep humbling yourself. Keep praying. Keep strengthening yourself in the Lord. You can do it. It's a beautiful promise by God for your home, for your household, and for our church. Who do you need to humble yourself with? Who do you need to be united with? Who do you need to pray with? If Jesus comes now, where is he going to find you with? Are you praying the same prayer with someone else? So it's a call for all of us to get ourselves together and put this in front of our eyes as the message of God to us. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.